Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
I believe we are in the season of testimony. Amen. So, whatever the Lord has done for you, don't keep it. Amen. Yeah. Don't keep it to yourself. You can't keep it to yourself. You want to testify. Tonight we have in our midst a sister who wants to give God the glory by telling the congregation what the Lord has done for her. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together and welcome our sister Alicia van der Heijden from Perfect Harmony.
I usually have bad dreams at night and I usually see spirits, but it was at Safe Church one Wednesday when Reverend was praying for persons who love looking at horror movies, and I was asking God if he could pray for the persons who are having bad dreams, and then he said, if you're having bad dreams at night, please come forward. And I went up to the front, and when I came, he was praying for me, and I fell to the ground. And when I got up back, I heard a voice saying, Alicia. So I was like, who could it be? Then it was Reverend who was calling me again to pray for me. I was crying, but then as I fell on the floor again, I heard a voice saying, no more bad dreams. And I got up, and Reverend was saying the same thing, and two other persons were saying, no more bad dreams. I went home, I slept the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, and that I've noticed that I haven't gotten any bad dreams anymore, and I'm not seeing any spirit in my room anymore. I like to thank God for that.
Thank you, Jesus. Come Holy Spirit, fall afresh.
Fall afresh on me. Fill me with your power. Oh God.
Sing it one more time.
Come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me.
Come Holy Spirit,
fresh on me.
For the last time,
come Holy Spirit.
Let that be your prayer tonight.
Fall afresh,
fall afresh on me. Fall afresh,
fall afresh. And fill me with your power. Satisfy my need. Oh, only you can make.
Father, this evening we thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. We declare you as God. We declare you sovereign over our lives. As we have gathered, Lord, we've gathered in your name. We pray you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you will not let us leave your presence the same. Lord, it's so evident that anytime we come into your presence, something good happens to us. Let tonight not be different. May we leave with great things, blessings. May we leave with our eyes open, our ears open. May we leave with something from you that we can live our lives by. Let your word come to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
God is real. If you don't believe in God, then there's something wrong. Amen. You don't have to see to believe. You have to believe to see. Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
All right. Tonight I want to bring you back in line with something I believe is very, very important for us to hear. Amen. I want to read something to you. Two short things as introduction to what I believe God wants us to hear tonight. It's about words. Words. Okay? We're going to look at the words of Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus Christ. Now, an author in one of his books said that words are pale shadows of forgotten names. As names have power, words have power. Words can light fires in the minds of men. Words can wring fears from the hardest heart. As Patrick Rothfuss in his book, The Name of the Wind. Another person says, there's something about words in expert hands, manipulated deftly. They take you prisoner, wind themselves around your limbs like spider silk. And when you are so enthralled, you cannot move. Words pierce your skin, enter your blood, numb your thoughts. Inside you, they work their magic. That's Diane Setterfield in her book, The 13th Tale. Now, words are very, very important. Words, the Bible says that words can have life in them or they can have death in them. Many people have many things to say. In fact, there are many people who don't miss their newspaper early in the morning because they want to hear somebody's words. They want to hear what the newspaper is reporting about. People don't joke with what their father told them or what their father is telling them. People don't joke with what their teacher told them. In fact, some young man will tell you, I love you, and that's it, you lose your brains. Just because of that simple word they tell you. Someone say, I like you. In fact, even Guyana is even worse because when they say they like you, you're even crazy also. They don't use the word love, they use like, and then you're even crazy. They say, I like you, and then, you know, you become mad. And you stop doing anything and everything, and then you follow them. So words are very, very, very important. And we are moved by words. We are, if you want to call it, controlled by words. We are affected by words. Like the people were saying, words, they do their magic when they are inside you. Somebody can tell you something and you can think about it for the rest of your life. You can hear something. It can make you cry. And we hear things all the time. Some nice things, some not so nice things. And they affect us. They work on us. They do good to us. Some do bad to us. Some words we cling on to so much. So remember your wedding vows. Yeah, because they are words you spoke. So you are expected to remember those vows and not to forget them. They are important things. But what about the words of Jesus Christ? The words of Jesus Christ is now having a lot of competitors. Because many of us don't know what Jesus said or what Jesus says or what Jesus have to say about something. All that we know is what somebody else told us. It's very, very interesting even in Christianity that most of the time, Christians will follow what they know from the world than what the Bible says. I'll say it again. Because sometimes I feel you don't understand when I say certain things. I'm saying that even in Christianity, many of us, even though we become Christians, we still are controlled by what we know from the world. How we do things from the world. How your parents or somebody told you something in the world. We never even find out from the scriptures what Jesus has to say. Now, if you and I really have subjected and submitted ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then I believe that we must be very, very careful to what Jesus is saying. How can you be following somebody when you are dumb, you are deaf to the words of the person who is leading you? You are not a disciple. You have not taken Jesus as your Lord and Savior when you don't know what Jesus is saying. You don't understand what Jesus is saying. How are you going to run this Christian race without hearing what God is telling you? and we are bringing back the words of Jesus Christ back to where it belongs in our lives as the most important words we must cling to. And that's how come you see, and nowadays you have Bibles. If you have a Bible and the words of Jesus are not in red, that's not a good Bible. Any Bible, Tunika, any Bible that doesn't have Jesus' words in red, it's not a good Bible. Because the words of Jesus are not the same as the words of St. Paul. The words of Peter the Apostle is not the same thing as the words of Jesus Christ. Yeah, my mother's words are not the same for me as Jesus' words. Yeah, my wife's words are not the same as Jesus' words. Pastor Rafa, it's not the same. Your words are not the same as the words of Jesus Christ. It can never be. We cannot equate. So if we say we are Christians and we say that we are following God and we are following Jesus, then the words of Jesus must be something that's so special to us. And what is it? When you are talking, you should say, Jesus said. If you can't say Jesus said, then don't talk about it. We should learn that. And Akazo people, let's learn that. If somebody is saying something and it's not what Jesus said, so but shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. I mean, you. If you are talking politics, okay, that's different. But if you want to talk something about something very, very important that you want us to listen to, you should tell us what Jesus is saying. Because he's our master and he's our Lord. And if Jesus said it, then we will follow it. Because the words of Jesus are so powerful. They are so powerful. They are so powerful. We want to look at what Jesus said about his own words. And you see, this is what, you know, this is what makes me excited. When you talk about Muhammad, you talk about Sai Baba and all these people. They were not bold, they were cowards. Cowards. You see, their own words. You see, if Jesus never told us about Muhammad, did he tell about Muhammad? So why did Muhammad tell us about Jesus? Who is greater? Who is better? If Muhammad was who he was, he shouldn't have mentioned anybody else. He should say, I, nobody else. But Jesus came, and that's the last. Jesus never predicted that anybody was going to come after him. There's nothing like that. Muhammad never said anything about his words. Now, you should be very knowledgeable, you know. Because if you don't know, many of us don't even know about Christianity because we don't read. And if you don't read, you'll just be walking around. I mean, you're like an ignoramus walking around, don't even know what you're a part of. And that's what some of these young guys who are lured into Islam, that's what it is. They just wear some long dress, they go to the masjid, they don't even know how to wash their anus properly. When they are washing it, they don't even know how to do these things. What Jesus said about his own words. Not what I am saying about his words, but what Jesus is. If you are somebody, if you are something, you should say who you are. I was with one of my pastor friends, one of my favorite pastors around, and we're talking about Bishop's books. And he was saying that. I said, so what do you think about the books? Because I've been giving him books, he's not been telling me anything. And I said, I won't give you any other book. Tell me the books that I've given you, what do you think about them? I was saying that, you see your bishop? He calls a spade a spade. I mean, he spoke about it to an extent that the man is a very serious man. You know, so he asked me a question. He said, you guys must be afraid of him, isn't it? I said, no, on the contrary. On the contrary. Afraid? No. We understand how he operates. When it comes to God's things, there's no joke about that. But outside that, he's a very kind man. He's a very loving man. He's an encourager. He's so wonderful. But when it comes to the things of God, no, we can't joke here. Because Jesus shed his blood for us. And therefore, you can't joke when somebody's blood has gone down for something. That's why when they, Hitler, you know, killed all these 6 million Jews. As after that era, those who were with him, who were still alive, they went for them to put them on trial. Yeah, anybody in Hitler's inner circle or commanding officer who lived beyond Hitler after the, you know, a few hundred years ago, a few years ago, wherever they were, they were found, they were picked up, and they were trialed, and they were jailed, and they were sentenced. Because you can't let blood be spilled and not say anything else. Blood is so precious. So if Jesus came and he died for us, then you got to take it serious. Yeah. Muhammad didn't die for anybody. Even the Hindus, is there anybody? There are too many of them. Snakes and goats and animals. You don't even know which one they are talking about. Even the Baha'i, they are even more confused. This School of the Nations people, they are even more confused because they say everybody is for them. It's Muhammad, Jesus, everybody is their God. They are more confused human beings. It is so simple. To me, it's very simple. There can be only one thing. That is the real thing. There can be only one thing. Yeah. You don't have two entrances to your house. You know, you have one entrance and one exit, emergency exit in case of anything. You can have two doors to your house. I've never come across somebody who has, sometimes when I feel like I go through here, and there's one entrance. You can have another one at the back step and all of that. That's not how you enter your house. If you enter your house through the back, you are, everything okay? You are seeing it's very strange. Even though it's a door you can also use. There can only be one person who is good or who is something at a time. And it's Jesus Christ. Amen. He said he stood up. Jesus said so many things that if we understand and we take it serious, we will understand a lot of problems. You get it? I saw a scripture I've seen before, I've seen a couple of times, I saw it today, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, are you there? Verse 8 or something like that. Let me show you that. Let's go there. Can you come with me? You have a ticket? You have a visa? Let's go. You have verse 8, I believe it is. 9, otherwise it's 6. 6. You have 6? 8. 5. You know 5, then we go 4, 3, 2, 1, huh? Okay, just go down, go 4. Nah, 3. Maybe my Bible is better. Yo, but what kind of Bible do you use? You have the wisdom of Daniel or not? What wisdom do you have? I'll find it, crowd. Don't worry. If the lead doesn't find it for me. Hebrews chapter 13, right? Yeah, verse 14. It was a little further. This is a very serious verse. What do you think? What do you think about the verse? You see, if we would take Jesus' words serious, we will understand a lot of things. You see, this is not even Jesus' words, but this is the Bible. You see, you have the words of Jesus, and then
you have the words of the Bible. The ones in red are a little different from the ones in black. The ones in black are very, very important. The ones in red are extra important. Now, this is the black and white, and he says that for here, which is here in Guyana, we have no continuing city. It means that there is no, Guyana is not going to last. It's not a lasting, for here we have no lasting town or lasting country. Because of that, we seek one that is to come, which is lasting. Now, if indeed we are seeking another world, we will not live our lives the way we live in. We will not put our money here on earth. Because why would you put your money in something that you know it won't last? Nobody, nobody in their right sense, is that Mikhail? Nobody in their right senses, nobody in their right senses will put money into a hole. Now, when you put money in your pocket and you realize that you can't find your pocket, and you realize, hey, my pocket, there's a hole under it. You feel very bad. If you knew, you would have put money in that pocket. You put in another pocket. Nobody put money in holes. Now, if we are going to take Jesus' word serious, it's going to guide us. It is going to keep us on the right track. It's going to make us do the good things. It's not about what somebody thinks. It's not about what a pastor thinks or what a church is saying. So if I come to church, am I allowed to listen to this music? Can I listen to worldly music? Can a Christian do this? Can a Christian do that? You see, when you do that, it means you are very ignorant about what you say you are part of. Because you want somebody to tell you something when the thing is already written in the Bible. You just have to read about it. Now, when you ask us and we tell you what is in the Bible, then you go out and you go and see that the pastor said. Well, it's not a pastor, it's the Bible, and it's Jesus saying that. Now, if you were to read it, I mean, church would be nice. When we come here, we just sing and dance and we go home. What are some of the things Jesus said about his own words? Number one, Jesus taught that words in general are not trivial things. Words in general are not trivial things. Words in general are not trivial things. When you say something is not trivial, you're trying to say it's not useless. It has, you cannot just ignore. Words are very important. Are you with me? In Matthew chapter 12, it's a very nice chapter, verse 36. Jesus said this. He said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You take it or leave it. Jamela, you can say, oh, but I said, sir, I said the pastor is a scamp. So, no, the Bible says, if you say any idle word. Idle is, so you see, the idle in this context, is when you say idle, it's like when somebody is not doing anything, the person is not working, he's just liming. Okay, any liming word, we can use the word any liming word. When you are liming, you are idling. So when the Bible says that every idle word, the Bible is trying to talk about words that are not relevant to the situation. So if you take the word and you take where you are trying to apply the word, it doesn't work there. The word is idle in that situation. So when you say that, let's say the pastor is a scamp, you have to come with evidence. You must have proof that the word scamp that you are using is fit for the pastor. If that is not the case, then the word scamp you are using for the pastor is an idle word. And therefore, that idle word you use, Jesus, nobody's saying it's not Ramota or it's not Granger. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who is going to judge us on the day when we stand before him, he is saying that if you use a word that is idle, you will have to explain why you use that word on the day of judgment. You have to explain why. Jesus said, words are not trivial. When, that's why the Bible said, be slow to speak. Be slow to utter words. And be quick to hear. A young man, one of my church workers is telling me about some young man who, whose mother is asking whether the young man is still going to a Bible seminary. So the church, my church person is asking me about that. And I said, so who's that? And then she tells me the name of the guy. I said, he's an idiot. Because the guy, the reason why the mother is asking, is that the guy had spoken to the mother about all the seminary thing. I think the other day he went home and probably wasn't so happy. Why? Because he doesn't like when people talk to him anyhow. Because I spoke to him anyhow in the church. I said, he wants to go where? If you look at the person I'm talking about, this is somebody who can, I know he cannot even come up with $1,000 for his ticket. If you ask him, did you write CXE?
You don't know.
Did you write CXE? You want to preach when you're doing? You don't look like a preacher. Now you give him the microphone. We give him the microphone. He's talking in the microphone like that. Something. He can't. And we are giving you an opportunity to polish you. And you are telling your mother you don't like when people talk to you anyhow. Who are you? He was sitting in a church. I think I told about you. He was sitting up and he was holding his crouch like that. So I asked him, is it too heavy? Can we help you? Can we help you hold it? Can we stabilize it or something? We'll bring some stone or something so that it can rest on it so you can sit comfortably or something. He wants me to take the responsibility of sending him 1,000 miles away for 3 years. And he doesn't like anybody to talk to him anyhow. He should stay where he lives with his mother. He should stay where nobody me ain't got to worry about he. Yeah, nobody got to talk to him anyhow. Yes, let you raise himself. I'm sure his mother sees the importance of it. That's why she's asking. But he ain't good. You don't like. You see, so it's like you talk without even having understanding of what you are saying. You don't like anybody. What do you mean by anybody? Just tell your mother that you don't like it when a pastor spoke to you anyhow. People like that, they don't prosper. They will never do well. I had a young girl like that over here in the church. We had a meeting. I said, I'm meeting all these people. And everybody was there. I don't know where the two of them went to. I hear they went home to bathe or something, clean up, spiced up something, face powder. Two young girls, teenagers. So as we have the meeting, then the two of them walk into the meeting. So I asked them, hello. I told you we have the meeting. Well, where are you coming from? We went home. I said, you think you take me for? Come, kneel down right there. So they came and they knelt down here. One of them took it. Okay, she was okay. But the other one? So at the point, I told her, the one who was, you know, humble, I said, go and sit down. I said, you sleep here tonight. She's not coming back to the church. I say it's good. It's good. No. You can't even spell your name. It's too fantastical. When you look at people and how they want to be treated and handled when they have not achieved anything, you wonder. It can only be ignorance, and they don't want help. Stay far from the church. It's okay. It's okay. We are right. Yeah. Somebody else will come who loves the church, who wants to be here, who loves to be here. I tell you. So it makes us say things that we don't think about, but Jesus said it. He said on the day of judgment, there's a day called the day of judgment, you know. That's going to be a day where God is going to call you and ask you what you spent your life here on earth doing. You can see yourself as iPad giving you a loan to do business. And then they say, please come. The money we gave you, we ask you to be giving us 5,000 every year. What's happening? We are not hearing from you. You have to come and explain why you are not paying the 5,000. God is going to call you and I, and he will ask you about a word you used. Those of you have been using words that you don't have understanding about. You have been saying things that you don't have an idea about. You've been saying things that you feel, and you have a feeling, but you don't have any evidence of. It's better not to say anything than to say something that you don't have an idea about. Very, very careful. You see, if we will take Jesus' words for serious, these pastors, these churches, money. Who have you come into our accounting office before? Do you know how much offering we get? Do you know how our accounting system works? Why do you think you have an audacity to talk about the money of the church that the pastor even has access to? Do you know anything about the money affairs of the church? It's an idle word you are using, and be careful. Be slow to speak and be quick to listen. Every idle word that men shall speak. You see, one deception about life is that because we don't get our punishment and our judgment right now, it deceives us to feel that, nothing's wrong. Right? But you see, God has prepared a day where he's going to bring everything into judgment. So he's not interested in telling you something tomorrow. No. So it's being piled up. It's being recorded. When you stand before God, he will open the book. August 2015. Georgetown, Guyana. He begins, you said this. You said that. You said that. Can you please explain? He said, Lord, I don't remember. I said, no. Here, you don't forget anything. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. Whatever you say, idle words. You said something, you didn't mean it. You said something, you really didn't want to do it, but you just said it. They're idle words because they are words that don't work. They are words that don't function. They are words that don't mean anything. You just said them. They may be good words or bad words. It could be I love you, but you don't love. It's an idle word. Yeah. Once the word does not work, it's liming word. It's a word that is word that is liming. And you'll be judged for that. Jesus taught that words will be used as a basis for judgment. That's all in here too, isn't it? Verse 37, the next verse. Jesus taught that words would be used as a basis for judgment. Verse 37 of that same chapter. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The Americans do it better. They say you are under arrest, Jasmine. They say you are under arrest. Anything you say or do can be used against you in the court of law. So when they arrest you, they are saying, don't talk. don't get into some talking that, you know, like that it can be used against you in a court of law. So when they say freeze, you freeze. They say raise your hands, you raise your hands. Don't say, ah, why? What did I do? You people, something wrong with you, eh? You just see black people and they say, no, you see policeman, they say, whatever you say or do, if they say raise your hand and you put your hand in your pocket, it can be used against you in the court of, because they can say, when they were arrested, you were putting your hand in your pocket to bring out for a weapon. It can be used against you. So when they read you your rights and you just comply. Jesus said, you see, they are quoting Jesus. Because Jesus said that for the words of your mouth, by them you'll be judged. So for example, when you say, oh, I love God. Hey! Better. I love God. Good boy. I love God. You really love God? Really? Are you sure? By that same words, you either be justified or you be condemned. You said you love me. What did you do to prove that you love me? Number one. Number two. And God will say, yeah, that's true. Your words are genuine. All right. Hey, angels, take him to his mansion. And they say, you said you love me. But you are giving excuses about your work. You're giving excuses about Sunday was the only time you have to wash, cook, and clean, and prepare your children for school. Now, bring your washing, your cooking, your cleaning, your children right there. And show it to God that because of this, that's why I was not going to church. The words you say, Jesus, I believe. Some songs you shouldn't sing. Some of the songs we sing, you just move to the beat. Move to the beat. Yeah. Yeah. No. If we are going to take Jesus' words are not important to us. If his words are important to us, you see that our lives will, when you see something, you dodge like that. Say, not me. And then you walk very quiet. Say, am I safe? Can I go? Or I should wait? Because I don't want to do something that I'll be condemned by. You know what it means to be condemned? You know what it means to be justified? That is why songs that have certain words, you should be careful. When you have, like, I love the song we sing all the time. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the what? I believe in the resurrection. Are you sure you believe in the resurrection? Hey, so you must get. So where they put you is not a problem. They say, "Oh, put me at the edge of the cemetery so that when the resurrection comes, I'll rise first. I don't want to be late." Don't keep me at a part of the cemetery where we are getting up. I won't be able. No. You must believe that when you die, you rise again. And I like the second part. I believe in life eternal. Do you believe in life eternal? What is life eternal? What is life eternal? Everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Life forever. Do you even understand what life forever is? A life with no end. Do you believe in that? Are you sure? Are you preparing yourself for that one? Because that's the second part of the whole thing. Are you preparing for that life? If you believe in it, you must prepare for it. If you believe in it, you rather build a house whilst you are going there. If you believe in it, you rather buy your car. And then it's just like you live in America and you say, you know, I'm going back to Guyana. You have to do things in Guyana as you are coming back. Say, you know what? When I go to Guyana, what am I going to do? I cannot just go and wake up and sit down. I have to get something doing. You know what? So let me just send some money, get a little business. Let me send some, ship some vehicles. You know, re-migrant, whatever scheme they call it. Where's Sata? You know, bring something. And then when I go, at least I have a vehicle. I don't have to depend on bus and car. I can drive. I have a place to stay. Let me buy a land. All of that. If you believe that you are going to settle somewhere, you invest in that place. If you and I believe in life eternal, we will invest in life eternal. You invest in life eternal. Be careful of what you say. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. Do you have that lyrics? You have it somewhere. As I'm preaching, the board must also preach what I'm preaching on. Blinky. Actress. I believe in your holy church. I believe in the saints' communion. Do you know what it means? Please, when we are singing it, the saints' communion means the saints come together when we meet. Whenever there's church, whenever there's a meeting, whether it's a Tuesday, whether it's a Wednesday, whether it's a Thursday, whether it's a Friday, whatever the saints do, you believe in it. And you, once you believe in it, it means you'll be there. So if you say, I believe in the saints' communion, and when the saints are communing, when they are meeting, you are not there, it means you are lying. That word you said will be used against you on the day of judgment. Yeah. I believe in your holy church. You believe in the church? How much offering do you give if you believe in a church? You have savings. You are thinking more about your savings than giving money to God. And you say you believe in a holy church. You don't believe in no holy church. You believe in a mandir. You believe in a mosque. You believe in your stomach. You believe in your own house. You don't believe in no holy church. Because if you believe in it, you invest in the holy church also. Jesus said it. He said, words are going to be the basis of judgment. Watch what you say. Is that not what we even go through? If somebody, especially when, you know, when it comes to relationships, and they write you a very nice letter. Nice poem. I love you like what? Who are the poets? Sammy. Sammy the poet. Ivo is also a poetess, you know, a poetess. Yeah. Raps. Think about your child father when he told you he loves you. Now, where are you there? Where are you there? Where child father there? Is we there? When's the last time he sent you money? For you, not for the child, for you. Where are you there? No, think about it. People have told us they loved us all. But now, you can't find them. Now they don't think about you. Yeah. Nafisia. Hey, has somebody told you they love you before?
No.
Do you live on this earth or you live somewhere else? What about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Please stand, let's talk. I want to talk to you. What's your name? Aaliyah, somebody has told you they love you before.
Yeah, parents.
No, I talking about a man. Man, how old is you?
17.
You got a bio, somebody tell you they like you before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he? What's his name? You remember his name?
Don't focus on that.
No. Why you won't focus on that?
Bear box. Parents.
Sorry?
You can't think of advice with me, parents.
Things what? You can what? You can't keep a boy with your parents.
Mm-mm.
Can't think about a boy. Why? You 17. Thank you very much. How long do you think about it? When they met you, they said they love you. Where are they now? Ashanti. Yeah. Has anybody told you they love you before? Yes?
Yeah. Okay.
Why you laugh? Where are they?
So weird.
But I thought because they love you, they will come to church with you.
Yeah.
Well, so where them there?
You know.
Oh, it's Earl. Is that you? Thank you. The people who told us they love us. The people who always tell us they love us. They don't even find out whether you've eaten today. They say they love you. They say they love me. They don't even care whether everything okay with you. Or they say they like you. What you eat today? What I eat today? If only you knew. Sky juice. Dwayne, sign up. Dwayne. You have to cough properly. Where the girl there?
You know what I said?
Sorry?
You know what I said?
But again, she tell you she love you? I can't tell you she love you, nah? No?
Yes.
Yeah, well, so where she is now? Where is she now?
Me, no.
You love she? God will judge her. Don't worry, okay? God will judge her. Yeah, God will judge her for you. Words are going to be the basis of our judgment. So every word you say, it will be brought back. And say, okay, you said this. You said that. Let's look at the evidence. Did you live your life according to that? You got to be careful what you say. Francine, you gotta be careful. You see, so I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but people who have gone through divorce, I wonder how it's gonna be. Because let's say, you know, you've taken a woman to the altar before, you've taken a man to the altar before, so I love you till death do us part. Serious? I said, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I'm just weighing in on what Jesus said, that by what you said, you're going to be judged by what you said, or you're going to be justified, or you're going to be condemned. It's like when you write an exam, you answer questions. The question you didn't answer well, you shouldn't expect to get full marks for it. You may get some 10 over 10 for question one, 10 marks for question two, but question three, you get two. And if you are blessed, when we put all of them together, you get 50.5%. And then you say, I pass. That is why we should really do more good things for God. As if, when God looks at that, it will take this one rather away. It will make this one become less. I don't know if you understand what I mean. It's like an exam question. It's like you do your best and answer question one to the best of your ability. And you know, ask for question two. You say, you know what, this question, I didn't study. I know, when you come out of the exam, you say, question two. It's like, Lord, when it comes to my marriage life, I know that part. I can't really explain things. But when it comes to serving God, when it comes to praying, when it comes to preaching, I will preach every day. So that my marks on this side will overshadow my weakness on that side too. Yeah, a very, very good message. Because when you say, I do, till that, you better leave home. You do. Till death. No, think about it. You didn't even say it in the post office. You came to the church. And the pastor said, look at her face. Sweetie, come. Yeah, come. Why? You leg hurting or something? You getting old or something? What's happening? And they said, look at her face. And say, what are the things we say, Raphael? Come and conduct the marriage. I said, I take you as my days until death do us part. I do. Say, I do. I say, I do. You say, you do?
I do.
Okay. So if you do, then you must die first. Is that not what it means? Truvisia. That's what it is. Oh. But you see, so many things come. It won't be easy. Because from now till death is a long road. And there's no road in this life that is smooth. If you live in Guyana, you see, they are trying to patch some roads and potholes here and there. No road is smooth. But the fact that your car is shaking as you are going on the road doesn't mean that you say, you know what? I ain't going no more. Because you have already come before God and said something. On that day, he will ask, but you said this. How come 10 years later, you change your mind? It's about God. The man was disgusting, man. God is saying, no. I'm not thinking about how disgusting he is. When he comes, I will deal with him about his disgustingness. You are here. Why did you say till death? And it wasn't till death. It was till 5 years. And you realize, you know, Lord, can I go and come again? Can I come next year? I want to go and prepare and come back, because if I knew you were going to ask me this question, I would have tried to fix it before coming. And it's not just in marriage only, but in all the areas where we say things to God. You know, we promise, oh Lord, this year, Lord 2015, oh Lord. We have become Christians who feel God owes us more than we owe God. Christianity now is God owes me something. God got to do something for me. It's not like I owe God my life. Yeah. So we say things. Even in the morning, the song you sing, you don't even understand the song you sing when you're going to the bathroom. You're the reason that I live. The reason that I sing. God force is the reason you live. Please stand to your feet, my time is up. GRA is the reason that you live. GPO is the reason you live. The Ministry of Health is the reason you live. NIS is the reason you live. What's the reason you live? The words of Jesus Christ. And we're going to learn so many things, I tell you. You realize that Jesus said that all the things he has said, when this world comes to an end, his words will still be there. I don't know whose words are still going to be after everything is gone. Whose words will still be there? Because when everything is said and done, when everything is destroyed, there's nothing that is going to show up. Jesus said, my words will still be there. It tells me, but I rather believe in Jesus than Muhammad. Yeah, I mean, it's. And if his words is going to be there, it means that he is also going to be there too. Because your words and you are the same. Hallelujah. Why don't you thank God for the knowledge, for the wisdom, for the instruction, for the information we are receiving. Oh, let me tell you, we are even receiving too much. It makes us even more liable. It makes us even, God expects more from us now as we hear these things. Because even as we are hearing, and as I'm even saying it, God is also going to ask me, but you preach about the words of Jesus. He's going to ask you, but you also heard about the words of Jesus. Thank God for the information. Thank God for the knowledge. Thank God that his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Thank God. Keboro shikabarandas. Kebros kabarandes. Kebrendes. Lekebos kabarandas. Likabrandas. Yekeberemes kiberebes kabaranda makabrandas. Lebos kabandiri me kebrendemes kebrendes. Rakababas kabataya makabra makabiri me kebrendemes keteye. Lelolobos kobondomo kabramas kabayandi makaya babanderebe. Yeborolo shikabarara kabranda bababa kabranda lekebrebe shikataya bababa rekeberebe shikataya barababa baba lekeberebe skeberende maskabaranda ya baba yeberebe skeberende meskerebe shikabarabara baba lebros kataya barababa malandere merebe shikeberendes kebrendes likabarabas kibarababanda. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. I will never be.
I will never be. Yeah. The same again.
Do you believe it? Do you believe it?
I will never return.
No, no, no. The door is closed. The door is closed to idle words tonight. Fall like fire,
fall like fire,
so
like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. To sweep away the darkness and burn away the child. Your name.
There are higher highs.
Whatever you need to do, Lord, to make me
To the Lord, oh my soul, let the heaven shout for joy. Great is our God. Great is our God.
Every tribe and tongue,
every tribe and tongue, lift your voice as one. He is great.
Tongue one more time.
Every tribe and tongue, lift your voice as one. He is greatly
to
be praised. Sing to the Lord, oh my soul. Let the heavens shout for
Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for the knowledge you have given to us. We know now that words are very serious things to utter out of our mouth. You said, you promised, and the Bible says that all your promises are sure. You don't play with what you say to us. You are committed to what you say to us. You are showing us, you are teaching us to also be committed. When we say something to you or we say something concerning ourselves, I thank you for change. I thank you for change. I thank you for great change that has taken place even tonight. We are no more going to say things that we will not do them. We will say things. We are not going to be people who won't speak anymore. We are going to speak and still be able to follow and obey and be faithful to what we have said. Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, you are here. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't go to hell. Brother, sister, don't go to hell. Choose heaven tonight. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to choose heaven. There's a prayer you must pray if you want to go to heaven when you die. If you're here like that, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, you want to lift up your right hand and say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want Jesus. I want to be born again. If you're here like that, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. Just your right hand up high, so up above your head so I can see. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to me. I want to pray for you. Come, my dear, come. Walk to the front and come. Come, sweetheart, come. Yes, come to Jesus. If you lifted up your hand, come. God bless you.
Lord, I lay me down. Bring me up myself. I'm in
bless you. You want to come along? It's not too late. You can still come.
To your
heart. Come to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus tonight.
To your heart.
You want to come? Don't hesitate. Just come to Jesus tonight.
Bring me to my knees, Lord, I'm letting me down. Bring me up myself, I belong to you. Only
if you are here in front, pray this prayer with me. Church, join in as we even pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe with all my heart that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again now. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. I promise I will serve you for the rest of my days. Help me, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.